This is with Donna Marie Doherty on Highland Radio. The kids are in charge to explore all things sustainable. Ours to Protect is funded by Commissioner Mann with a television licence fee and is a partnership between Highland Radio and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty back with the latest instalment of Ours to Protect. Today we're covering all things littering. I've been out and about and here's what the kids of Donegal have to say about it.
Whenever I was outside playing before, I saw a bit of rubbish there. I think it was out in the front and I think it fell from the bin.
We found like bottles and like bags of crisps because they're too lazy to put it in the bin.
So like I'd be out in the woods and then sometimes I'd find some around my house. I think they should just clean up.
So litter's actually classified as any type of rubbish that's left lying out in a public or an open place. That includes vapes, dog poo, even unwanted furniture sitting on the side of the road. And not only is littering kind of gross and bad for the environment, it's also actually illegal. So if you're caught, you can get an on-the-spot fine of up to €150. If it goes to court, you could be fined up to €4,000. And every day after that, it's €600 if you continue to litter after you have a conviction. The fines can be given out by Gardaí or by litter wardens. And litter wardens are responsible for trying to keep our area clean and enforcing those rules. They also are really helped out by Tidy Towns. And Tidy Town groups are community-led. It's all voluntary. And nearly every town has one and they take part in this big yearly competition called the Tidy Towns Competition. We have loads of Tidy Towns groups here in Donegal. We'll be talking to some of them today. One of those is the Buncrana Tidy Town and they actually won a different kind of award this month for the best kept large town in Ireland and Northern Ireland. So I'm going to catch up now with Seamus McLaughlin, who is the Buncrana Tidy Towns Youth Liaison Officer.
Well, I actually go into primary schools and have a wee PowerPoint presentation for the sixth classes. And I find them great listeners and they ask brilliant questions and so on. The slides would show before and after where we kind of hunt down eyesores and try to change them into attractions. And just basically that. I tell them about the marking system and so on. And, you know, they'll ask brilliant questions, really. The teacher's there, you know, and he's writing down a bunch of questions to ask me at the end as well, too, you know. Before that, I was going to TYs, and they're like 15, 16 years old in the secondary schools. They have an environmental competition called the Greta Award, called after the wee Swedish girl, and which comes with €100 cash. And the current winner is from Prana College, Eva Van Dessel. The title of the essay was My Family's Efforts at Living More Sustainably. Basically say to the kids, if they use the litter bins and they don't spit chewing gum on the street, and, you know, that's a big help to us because the litter is one of the eight sections that we're adjudicated under. The sections are like approach roads, litter, biodiversity. Our score in 2024 for litter was 65 out of 90, which is not massive. It was about 70% or something like that. And, you know, if we had scored 70 out of 90, we would be national champions. We would have beaten Ballincollig by one mark, because they beat us by four. So 70 out of 90, you know, is not an impossible thing. It just means that the people who throw litter are actually sabotaging the tidy towns. Obviously, they don't care.
What would have been the most surprising thing that you have found whenever you have been out and about tidying the town?
I found needle-nose pliers that were a wee bit seized up. This is about 5 years ago, so I have them working perfectly now. And I found a £20 note.
You were saying there that the sixth classers, they ask really good questions, so there's clearly an interest there. Is there a way that they can get involved themselves with the tidy towns?
You know, there are green teams, you know, and these are all green flag holders, these schools. There's a great bunch in Skullwarra, my old school, under Denise Dowds, the geography teacher, and they're called the Climates, which, you know, that's CLI-MATES, you know, cleverly breaking the word, Climates. And they're mixed group from first year to fifth year, I believe. And, you know, the stuff they do, I mean, they're painting and planting, and they're just great, and they're cleaners as well.
What would be, I suppose, the importance of keeping the town tidy? It is important for the environment, but it really means a lot to the people who live there as well, I take it.
Most people in the town are appreciative of the efforts of the tidy towns, that's for sure, because it just, well, we just recently won, it's not the tidy towns, but it was a best kept town award, you know, so, I mean, that was a nice wee feather in our cap, $2,500 in prize money. And buy some pickers there and some bibs and paint and whatnot, you know.
What would be your favourite part then of being a part of the Tidy Towns?
Well, look, personally, it keeps me active in my old age. you gotta keep moving, because a lot of guys my age are sitting on the sofa or in a hospital or somewhere. So you have to stay active. So I quite enjoy it. I mean, I pull on the old pink high-vis vest with pride for a couple of hours on a Saturday morning. And what can I say? The town looks all the better for it, you know.
So there's a wee peek into what one of our many Tidy Towns groups get up to. We'll be talking with another one very shortly. But here in Donegal, we are known for our beaches. They're so pretty, and it's so important that they stay that way. In the summer, we all love going to the beach and bringing a picnic, but sometimes that means trash gets left behind. Here's what the kids of Donegal say they see the most of.
Bottles, like cans and bottles and stuff.
Sometimes whenever I'm in town at work, I see lots and lots of bottles that are everywhere.
We walk the dog up the bog, and very often the dog like scavenges, and she finds like plastic bottles, plastic bags, like rubbish, like wrappers. Like she finds stuff and she brings it home.
People were dumping a lot of like stuff.
Oh,
like giant like piles of rubbish, and then flattening it down, and like old TVs and bikes and things. And one day even it went on fire.
Well, to tell us more about what rubbish ends up on the beach is Una McDevitt, a volunteer with Friends of Rosnaula.
We're a voluntary organisation down in Rosnaula, and we've got a couple of aims, which includes the upkeep and the maintenance of sort of the beach and the beach area, mm-hmm. and looking to improve facilities and to create some sort of community connection with the people who live and the people who visit Rosnaula.
And the beach is there for everybody to enjoy, but litter can kind of get in the way of that. What should people be doing to protect the beaches, I guess?
Be aware of the stuff that they bring, and if they bring it, they bring it home, even if it's broken. Things like not bringing glass, because it can get broken and it can get sort of left in the sand, and it's quite harmful to sort of people in sort of bare feet or in a sort of little paws or sort of the wildlife.
And Una, you guys do a monthly beach clean. You were very successful there in your last one. Can you tell me about it?
And so we normally collect about 10 bags of rubbish every month. We do a beach clean on the first Sunday of every month. Our next one is on Sunday the 3rd of August. It starts at 12 o'clock, doesn't go on for any more than an hour and a half. And we've recently introduced a scale, and we started measuring the Sunday how much rubbish people were collecting. We collected over 70 kilos of rubbish, and a lot of people are complaining that it's people bringing stuff to the beach and leaving stuff on the beach, but we also get a lot of stuff washed up on the beach that sort of come from sort of other areas or from the fishing industry. So it's not just it's not just people bringing the rubbish.
Are the beach cleans open for everyone? Can kids get involved in that?
Yes, kids are very welcome to come along, and we often see families that are coming regularly to the beach cleans. They're very welcome, and they love participating. They love we love their energy, and we love the excitement, and we love them discussing what they find on the beach when they do their litter picking.
And I'd say that is the children coming are like a breath of fresh air, because any of the kids that I've been talking to through this year are just so eager and excited.
And that's very true. And I think that comes from not only the parents encouraging them, but also we find that there's a lot of education happening in the schools.
And Janet, there is involvement there between yourselves and the schools.
Yeah, from the beginning, we have been keen on involving local schools and understanding the importance of the protection of the beach, but also the environmental issues. And we've given talks in local schools, and we support school organised beach cleanups and education events.
And you know what? I'd say there would be nothing better than if you're in a classroom than getting to hear you getting to go to the beach for the day.
Oh yeah, some are very excited, and we had a group from recently, and there were a few kids that it was the first time they'd ever been to a beach. And they were super excited.
It was
lovely, very special for us as well.
Oh, that's so exciting. Has there been any kind of strange objects that have come up during these cleans? Any memorable ones?
Oh, so that last group and beach clean, there was a portable toilet that was picked up. Men's underwear. We get more socks than you can shake a stick at.
Maybe that's where all of our missing socks are going. Una mentioned that it's not just things that get dumped on the beach that they end up picking up on their cleans. If you've ever watched Find Nemo, you'll have heard all drains lead to the ocean. Here's Sinead Keogh, the regional officer for Donegal with Clean Coasts.
Clean Coasts is a part of the education unit of Ontashka. So we work mainly in the education sphere, I suppose, and we work all along the coast of Ireland. I look after the Donegal area, obviously, so it's mainly working with Clean Coast groups. So we have over 2,000 registered groups at the moment, and about 50,000 individuals that are actually registered with Clean Coasts. So those groups can be a combination of, tidy towns, they can be schools, they can be kind of any, community club or group, or it can just be individuals or families by themselves. So the Clean Coast groups are kind of out, every week, every month, looking after their local marine environment. And we just try our best to support them in any way we can.
And why is it important for everyone to help keep the beaches clean?
Well, yeah, I guess a number of reasons. Obviously they are home to many different plants and animals. But, on a more, scientific level, the Earth's oxygen, 50% of the Earth's oxygen comes from the sea. So that would be from the likes of seaweed or phytoplankton and different kind of marine plants. And it also absorbs, 25% of all carbon dioxide. So it's really important in that sense. It also, for water, it provides 90% of water for the water cycle. So that would give us, rain, rivers, and of course, drinking water. It also regulates the temperature of the earth. So it kind of stops the earth from getting, or the planet from getting too hot. And then, on a personal level, lots of people find a lot of solace and enjoyment from the coast. I know that there's a lot of research gone into recently in this area called Blue Health, which is all about how the sea can improve our mental health, and it kind of makes us happier just by being near the coast. There's so many different reasons, apart from the actual environmental aspect, that we should kind of help protect our coastline.
And I suppose in simple terms then, how would plastic and litter be of harm to the biodiversity that is on the beach?
It's mainly for animals, and for the environment. Often the major thing we see is that plastic bags or wrappers, any sort of kind of litter, can be seen as food for the animals. So for different fish or jellyfish or turtles, for example, turtles eat jellyfish. So a plastic bag floating around in the sea can often look like that to a turtle. And if they eat it, if they ingest it, it can get stuck in their stomach and then make them quite sick. That's kind of a major issue, for the animals and seabirds as well. Small kind of microplastics can often look like little bits of food. Plastic rings and ropes, fishing lines, that sort of stuff can wrap around the animals and they can get stuck in them. We see that sometimes with bottle caps and little crabs. Often they think it's a shell and they can get stuck in it then. or, you know, they might get tangled in it, a seal, for example, and they're not able to swim properly then. So it's different stuff like that can actually affect the animals. And then in terms of the environment, if litter is, you know, covering the beach or the sea floor, it can make it hard for the animals to live and to lay their eggs. So the birds might build nests, let's say, with plastic in them, which is not good.
When I was speaking to the children, they also shared their concerns for animals caused by waste.
If it goes in the ocean, it's bad for the sea creatures.
It is really bad.
Some, like, fish might get their heads stuck and then they can breathe.
When you litter, it's bad for some animals, like penguins.
Why is it bad for penguins?
Because then it's meant to be cold there, then it gets warmer.
Clean Coasts also have another campaign, which is called Think Before You Flush. Sinead told me all about it.
Yeah, so Think Before You Flush, it's an environmental awareness campaign. So we run it in partnership with Ishka Erin. And it's all basically about sewage-related litter. So it's kind of, you know, I suppose pretty self-explanatory. It's, you know, thinking before you flush. So it's about trying to stop non-organic materials from going down the toilet and making its way to the sea. If, you know, the non-organic material I'm talking about can be stuff that you would find in your toilet a lot of the time, or in your bathroom, I should say, a lot of the time, like baby wipes, cleansing pads, the toilet roll tube, plasters maybe, medicines, cotton buds is a big one, floss, that sort of thing. These things that you would find in your toilet, if there's not a bin, people tend to flush them down the toilet. And then they unfortunately make their way to the wastewater treatment. And unfortunately, the treatment plants aren't really, designed to deal with large amounts of that type of waste. Unfortunately, the smaller items that can be flushed down the toilet can then escape through the filters and make their way to the beach. The campaign is really about trying to stop it at the source and to get individuals involved and trying to get them to stop flushing this type of material down the toilet. Our slogan with it is, you know, only flush the three P's down the toilet. That is pee, poo and toilet paper. They're the only three things that should go down there.
And whenever people think about litter on the beach, they mightn't necessarily think that it's coming from inside their home. They're thinking it's people leaving stuff behind, which also does happen, but it's a way to also help the effort.
I think when people see litter on the beach, they think, oh God, someone must have left it there. But actually, you know, there's many ways that it could have came on the beach. A lot of the time, you know, it can be from, obviously from litter, from overflowing bins at the beach, but then from wind, you know, from ships out at sea. And then sewage is another one, unfortunately. So what people kind of flush down the toilet and they put down the sink, if it causes a blockage and makes its way to the system, unfortunately, it can end up in the sea.
And finally, Sinead, if people want to learn more about Clean Coasts or try and find their local group, how can they do that?
Yeah, so they can jump onto our website, so the cleancoast.org, but we also have social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, or X, I should say, so that's all Clean Coasts. But if they want to find out about Donegal groups, they can feel free to reach out to me.
We'll have the details for that on our website. And the final piece of litter that's really messy and is a massive problem for beaches is dog poo.
So nobody has like dog bins.
We need more dog
bins. Yeah, some people don't even care that they just throw the dog poop everywhere.
They just throw
the bags.
I thought you were going to say they just throw the dogs everywhere.
Well, we can report that all of the dogs are safely on the ground and that the Moville Tidy Towns groups have went above and beyond to try and solve the problem in their area. Maria McHugh is one of their volunteers and she told me about their project.
Dog piling is when the dog owner doesn't actually clean up after the dog whenever it's gone for poo in a public space. So whether that's a beach or like we would have a bit of an issue along the shore walk in Moville, and even Moville Celtic is found that people are taking their dogs onto the likes of the Bay Field, you know, the football pitch, and then not cleaning up after them. So aside from the fact that it just spoils the general area, one big issue that we would have is we would have a lot of people with, you know, prams and buggies and stuff and people with wheelchairs that then get it on the wheels. And especially like if you're hand pushing a wheelchair as well, you know, to then get that on your hands as a user is particularly nasty. But there's a lot of serious health risks to people with dog poo, particularly children. And then you've got the contamination side of things as well, in terms of marine life and other animals and birds and things as well. But ultimately, it's because dog owners are not being responsible enough to clean up after them.
And everyone here, or a lot of people, will have stepped in dog foul before, and it really does. It can just ruin your day. But that must be so much worse for a wheelchair user who ends up getting it on their hands if their chair is rolled through it. Again, it's kind of problematic on beaches because a lot of people think that it will wash away with the tide, but that's not necessarily the case.
It can. I mean, some of it can wash away, but I mean, when it enters the sea, you've still got a problem then, because it's causing pollution. And at the end of the day, the biggest problem is the fact that there's parasites in the dog poo. So that can then pose a risk to anything that's living in the, you know, in terms of the marine biodiversity. But a lot of it will then stick to the sand. And a lot of people that are getting ill from dog poo, it's not necessarily fresh dog poo. It's dog poo that's been buried. And the worms, the parasitic worms that are in the dog poo are still then remaining in the sand. And then it's then getting into the food chain, which is then causing harm to human health, and potentially other animals and birds' health as well. But the sticking, like, residue will just stick to, I mean, everyone knows poo is sticky. So some of it might get washed away, but a lot of it does end up staying stuck in the sand, and that's why it's such a big problem. The amount of people that seem to think if you cover it over, it'll be grand, and unfortunately, it's not that straightforward.
What kind of, how do people get sick? What does that look like?
To be honest, I don't know a huge amount in terms of all the downsides here, but I know it can have a serious impact on eye health. So it can even lead to loss of sight in one eye in particular. But eye pain would be one symptom from it, and just general sickness as well.
So you had said there was an issue with it on the shorefront in Moville, and the Moville Tidy Towns Group had a great idea that they rolled out, it was about 2 or 3 years ago now, is it?
Mm-hmm, 2 years ago now. So we had funding from UNPUBL. So UNPUBL is fantastic. It's through the Department for Rural Community Development, that every year that they allocate a pot of funding to Tidy Towns. Depending on the size of the area, depends on how much you get. And it's always to target specific things, so either biodiversity or sustainability or the likes of reducing waste. So a couple of years ago, when we were getting a lot of complaints about dog fouling, we decided that we would use the money to invest in carry holders for dog poo bags, and a lot of the ones that we got had torches on them as well, so no excuse if it's winter time or, you know, it's evening or whatever, that you can still see the dog poo to pick it up. And we liaised with Donegal County Council, who supplied additional dog poo bags as well next to the bins, but they disappear so quickly. I don't know if it's just dog owners that are using them, or whether people were taking them for something else, but they would disappear at a rate of knot every time the council replaced them. But with the funding as well, we created a set of signposts to say that essentially you don't have to have a special dog waste bin, because we did have a couple of bins that were specifically for dog waste, mm-hmm. You know, around the green area, to say then it's any bin. Because that's what Donegal County Council were trying to push. And, you know, they revive that every so often, you know, that they put it out in social media and things, you know, that it's any bag, any bin. And we got a set of really, really clear, vivid posters created and put around different places. And actually, Aoife, one of our volunteers, who was the person that led the project at the time, she actually got a couple put up down at Greencastle as well, because you can walk the whole way from Moville to Greencastle, to, you know, emphasise at both ends that it's not just Moville, you know, we want the whole of Donegal, you know, any bag, any bin. And it did help. There was a reduction. But the problem is then when you get to the likes of the Blue Flag Beach down at Shrove, and there is no bin. And you have really responsible dog owners, and they'll take the bag home, just like you get anywhere. And that feeds into the leave no trace awareness as well, you know, that you should just be taking your rubbish home in the first place. But then you have a small minority of dog owners that will still hang the bags on trees or bushes or leave them at the side of the path. And we spoke to a couple of people and they were like, oh, yeah, we do that, but we'll pick it up on the way home. And we said, well, do you pick it up on the way home? Most of the time. So there's a proportion of times where people think they're being responsible and then they forget about it. So you might see bags sitting rather than the dog poo sitting there. But I mean, one's nearly as bad as another because birds will pick at plastic bags thinking, you know, they might get some goodies in it, you know, for their dinner. And then that's just ripping apart the bag and then you're again exposed to the poo all over again.
And I suppose just finally, if people, and if this is programs for children, so if children see dog poo on the beach, what's the best thing for them to do and maybe not to do?
Well, the best thing to do is not to touch it. But what they can do, if it's the likes of blue flag beaches, they can report it to the lifeguards and the lifeguards should be able to deal with it. If they tell an adult and the adult has a bag with them, then the adult might feel happy enough to then pick up the poo and then put it in a bin. Or failing that, they can actually ask an adult to report it to the council and deal with it that way. But what they shouldn't do is completely ignore it. You know, if they spot it, tell someone else, because whoever the adult is that's with them would hopefully then be able to deal with it. And absolutely don't bury it, because if you bury it, the problem is not going to go away. Donegal County Council have a tough job with this because it's a very, very small crew that deals with litter, you know, in terms of wardens. And even though there is penalties for the likes of dog fouling, you haven't got the local enforcement that's there. And I think we're probably not going to be ever in the position where there is the local enforcement there. But you don't really want to have to go down that route either. So just a plea to all dog owners to be responsible, particularly in consideration of very public areas where there are children playing, because we want our children to be able to roam free on the beaches or, you know, like when they're playing football and stuff like that, and not have to think about what they're going to be putting their hands on.
And that was Maria McHugh. She's a Mobile Tidy Towns Group's volunteer. And that is just about all we have time for. It is coming up quick on us. If you want to learn more about anything you heard from today, we'll have more information available on our website, highlandradio.com. And there's a special Irish Protect page on there where you can play back this episode and all of our past broadcasts. I want to hear from all of you kids. We're talking about fast fashion next month, so you can send a voice note to the Highland Radio WhatsApp. That's on 086 60 25000. And just make sure that you leave a message that this voice note's for me and it's for Irish to Protect, or else you can send me an email, donnamarie@highlandradio.com. A big thanks to all of our guests, Seamus, Una, Sinead and Maria, to the listeners at home, and to the boys and girls who have one last piece of advice to give you. But from me, Donna Marie Doherty, have a very, very good evening.
They could pick it up and put it in the bin.
If you have rubbish and there's no bins around, just take it home and put it in your bin.
I'll take it home and put it in the bin.
Something that we do in our school is you can't bring anything outside that has a wrapper on it, because then they end up in the yard. So, like, if you had crackers and it had, like, a packet on it, you can put the packet in the bin and bring the crackers out. No wrappers allowed.
This is with Donna Marie Doherty on Highland Radio. The kids are in charge to explore all things sustainable. Ours to Protect is funded by Commissioner Mann with a television licence fee and is a partnership between Highland Radio and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland.